proceed with the next case is Santos versus Alberto Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good
morning.
Should I proceed? Okay. The BIA erred in denying the motion to reopen in this case since material new evidence in the form of four affidavits and a new country report, 2003 State Department country reports on Guatemala, were submitted to the BIA on a motion to reopen.
Now, Ms. Bahami, just let me start by asking you if there's any explanation in the record for why Mr. Santos could not have solicited the affidavits from his family members in time for his asylum hearing.
Your Honor, the time continuum in this case is different. Even if he had obtained these affidavits at that time, it does not change the fact that as of December of 2004, when he was ready to return to his country, that the family members told him that he has enemies in Guatemala and that his life is in danger. So even if at an earlier time he had submitted the affidavits, it wouldn't change the fact that his life was still in danger as of December of 2004. That's why those affidavits are newly obtained, because at that time his life was in danger.
In other words, you're saying he was not aware that his life was in danger prior to that time?
No, Your Honor. His life was in danger at all times.
Right.
However,
1991.
True. But in 2004, December, when he was going to go back to his country, when he called his family, they told him that his life is in danger. It's still in danger. The time continuum in this has changed, Your Honor. He could have been safe for 2 years. Again, his life would have been in danger in 2004. It's like a cancer that's in remission. You could have cancer one day. You could go to remission for a while, and it could come back at some point. But his life was in danger as of December of 2004. And that's why he asked for affidavits from his family, which they sent to him. Moreover, these are simple people. My client has only a second grade level of education. He is basically illiterate. You know, his understanding of what he has to do and what he shouldn't do is very limited. Even in court, even though the immigration judge found him credible, he understood that my client did not understand some of the questions, and yet he was found credible. He was still able to send the message that he was afraid because he was attacked by the guerrillas. They had cut his arm. His family member was shot before him. All of these events lead to the fact that in December 2004, when he was about to return to his country, that his life was in danger, still in danger. And that's what we have. It was within the 90-day period where he could file a motion to reopen based on new evidence, and that's what he did. Moreover, the country reports, the 2003 country reports, not only does not state that the situation has changed, but it actually shows that the situation has worsened. The human rights has worsened in Guatemala. So my client's situation hasn't improved. Now, on a motion to reopen that's based on paper submissions as opposed to in-person testimony, which in this case, my client was found credible by the IJ, the BIA is required to accept the facts stated in the alien's affidavit unless they are inherently unbelievable. Now, although the BIA has broad discretion to deny a motion to reopen on grounds of new evidence, the board's decision would not be upheld if it was made without a rational explanation. In this case, all they said was that the evidence could have been obtainable previously. But as of December 2004, my client was in danger. The BIA rendered its decision 3 months prior to that. And then the BIA's discretionary power in this case conflicts with the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment, which entitles my client to have a full and fair hearing and have a reasonable opportunity to present all evidence on his behalf. And that's all we're asking, Your Honor, for a trier of fact to be able to evaluate this new evidence. We're not asking for the asylum to be granted. We're not asking for anything except flexibility in allowing my client to have his new evidence evaluated before he's deported. And in, I would like to bring up the case of Cardozo-Fonseca in this case. In that case, the Supreme Court stated that deportation is always a harsh measure. It is all the more replete with dangers when the alien makes a claim that he will be subject to death or persecution if forced to return to his or her country. In enacting the Refugee Act of the 1980, Congress sought to give the U.S. sufficient flexibility to respond to situations involving political or religious dissidents. Now, all we're asking today is for you to give this flexibility to my client. Thank you. I'd like to reserve rebuttal, Your Honor.
That's fine. Mr. Murray.
May it please the court. My name is Tyler Murray. I represent the United States, the respondent in this matter. Properly framed, Your Honors, the issue before the court is a narrow one. Did the Board of Immigration Appeals abuse its discretion when it found that the evidence submitted in support of petitioner's motion to reopen was neither material nor newly discovered, and therefore did not warrant a fresh consideration of petitioner's asylum claim? Now, the evidence submitted here consisted of four affidavits and one 2003 Guatemala country report. Taking the affidavits first, three of them were from individuals who the petitioner knew then, who lived in Guatemala. One was 90 years old at the time the affidavit was executed. One was 7 years old at the time of the alleged initial persecution. The third was from another individual in Guatemala. Two of them were purported family members. Now, each of these affidavits, with inconsequential variation, states the same thing. Petitioner's enemies still reside in the same place. And that's it. And then we have a fourth affidavit signed by the petitioner himself, which parrots the same generalization. I have spoken with people I know in Guatemala, and they tell me that my enemies are still there. And that's the extent of the affidavits. First, they are not material. Were the BIA to have granted the motion to reopen and conducted a hearing, what we have before us would not have added anything. There's nothing new to suggest that petitioner has suffered or has a well-founded fear of suffering future persecution. Who are these enemies? Are they the same guerrillas that the petitioner allegedly feared back in 1991?
He says they're the same.
Well, the affidavits don't say that. I mean, in his argument, he does. In his affidavits, he doesn't. He says they're enemies and they live in the same place. And why are they persecuting him? That question isn't answered either. These are threshold things that need to be established for a motion to reopen to be granted. And as a follow-up to your question, Judge Rovner, how come these affidavits were not submitted earlier at the time of the initial asylum hearing? And petitioner's argument just further proves the point. Counsel for petitioner says that he has been subject to a well-founded fear of persecution from day one, and that has continued. All the more reason why these things should have and could have been submitted at the time of the hearing. There was no logistical impediment to these affidavits being presented. They were signed on the same day and quickly submitted in time for the motion to reopen to be filed.
Have you've read the 2003 State Department report?
I have, Your Honor.
Is there anything in there that might specifically apply to Mr. Santos or someone like him, such as increased violence in his village or increased violence toward people who share the same characteristics as Mr. Santos?
What I see in that report is general commentary on political turmoil, civil strife, and even human rights abuses, but nothing from my vantage point to link to Mr. Santos, to say this report presents evidence that to directly link to Mr. Santos to validate his fear of future persecution.
Oh, these are so terrible.
Well, the so-called rebels are, I mean, that's over, at least that part of it is. There are, I understand there are criminal elements there. There are people that do kidnapping and extortion and beat people up and that sort of thing, but they don't seem to be at least government connected and or government condoned.
That's my understanding, Your Honor. And one of the quotes in the petitioner's brief refers to so-called paramilitary groups. For all we know, these paramilitary groups are opposed to the guerrillas and would be sympathetic to Mr. Santos. Frankly, I don't know. In conclusion, then, Your Honors, because the BIA correctly found that the motion to reopen did not present any newly discovered or material evidence, the motion was properly denied, and the government would ask the court to affirm that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bahamani?
Your Honors, the government speaks about the fact that these affidavits are so simple in form, or they are written by people who are basically illiterate. One of them couldn't even sign. We cannot expect a level of sophistication coming from people who have very little education to be the same as people who have a higher level of education. But the affidavits convey the message that my client has enemies in Guatemala. They convey that message. Simplicity, like I said in my brief, should never be considered outdated. It is what we live by. Now, the government also argues that who are these people? Well, that's for a trier of fact to decide. It's not for the government to make that decision. That is why we're asking for another hearing, so that the judge could ask these questions. Who are these people? Who are the people who wrote it for you? Can they come testify in court? We're asking for that flexibility. Third, in the country report, it specifically states that killings are being done by non-state actors, and that the government has a weak prosecutorial system and in most cases does not go after these people. So if my client is sent back to Guatemala against his will and he gets killed, no one will investigate. No one will even know he died except his family members. Now, all we need is a reasonable possibility of persecution. We don't need a probability of persecution, but a reasonable possibility based on Cardozo Fonseca. And that's what we have here. Now, Congress.
This persecution, you're alleging it's based on the same reasons for his original encounter?
Yes, Your Honor.
91,
yes.
Whenever it was.
But now we have affidavits supporting that. We now have affidavits supporting. The judge originally said that even though he finds his testimony credible, that it was too general. Now, if we have affidavits, since now we have affidavits corroborating his testimony, all we're asking is for the judge to decide whether the affidavits are sufficient. And that's his job as a trier of fact. It's not mine and not the government's in this case.
What was the judge's a statement before about not specific and not in more general?
He said that it was too general and it was vague, even though the judge conceded that because my client had a second level education, that he misunderstood some questions, that he couldn't necessarily speak out like others do. But he found him credible. And he's in the best position to evaluate credibility. And that's what we're asking, for you to give a chance to my client to have these affidavits evaluated. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.